Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Hour. Okay, here we are Friday broadcasting to you again, and we're going to continue our conversation that we were having on Wednesday. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. I'm going to post the show to all of our Facebook friends, and hopefully we'll hear from some of you today. I've got to remember to put the numbers in correctly when I'm typing. We also, of course, invite you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And it looks like Facebook, when I go into Facebook, it looks completely different. I feel totally confused.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't look weird. So I'm trying to post to our other pages. I was having problems last show, but I'm going to try again from my desktop. I was doing it from my phone last time. Let's see how it works. Anyway, enough about that.
Okay, so on to our topic. You were wanting to continue. What was the...
Well, we were talking about encountering souls in the astral realm. Obviously, sometimes you know the soul that you're encountering. Sometimes you don't. So there's a variance of souls that are encountered. So, you know, either there's past life karma with that soul. Sometimes you encounter a soul or souls that are just seeking help in the astral realm and you have no real connection with them. Other times, in the case of the most recent connection that I had in the astral realm, it was someone I was karmically connected to, that the karma was indirect in this lifetime. It didn't manifest into a relationship on the physical plane, much more than, very superficial conversations. So it's interesting how that works.
Well, the astral realm is a lot different from the earth realm, because in the astral realm, a soul is going to find a variation of energies from different past lives. So the connections that were not as significant in the current lifetime may be revealed to the soul once they've crossed over, and they
as being more significant. But as I was saying earlier, there is the possibility of contacting souls that there's really no karma with. They're just seeking someone who's of a higher essence, trying to get assistance in the astral realm because they're not in a great position in their astral journey. A lot of times souls will cross over and, you know, it wasn't their lives on the earth weren't productive, or there were negative things that occurred in the lifetime. So they will seek a soul that they see in a living body that they know is connected to the earth still and try to get help. And there's not necessarily a karmic connection between the living person and that soul that's crossed over.
But oftentimes, did a reading yesterday, and a mother came through the reading that had died some years ago.
Well, but there was a karmic connection.
There was a
obviously
there was a karmic connection there because it was the mother, but there was some residual energy that there might have not been the greatest of partings or some regret about the way the relationship was went, and the soul made it quite clear to the person doing getting the reading, coming in by name and by other vivid descriptions, accurate descriptions, that there was no need to seek forgiveness or anything, that it was that there was just an abundance of love and acceptance, and hopefully that made the person getting the reading, you know, come to some realization that it's not something she had to hold on to. But it
that can be very connection. And that can be very, very reassuring.
Yeah, especially
to be able
if,
to make those types of connections.
Especially if there's, you know, pretty clear evidence that you are speaking to somebody on the other side, that there's details given and all that.
Details that are more than just generalizations.
Just saying, you know, send you flowers or something. That there's something more.
Sometimes they do
like
that,
name.
But they're also can be specific information with those generalizations.
That's what you kind of look for because it just brings in a little bit more accuracy for both the reader and the person getting the reading. I know that in the astral realm, there's a certain intensity. There's a certain energy you feel. So when I'm encountering the astral realm, I recognize that I'm in the presence of a certain energy. It doesn't feel earthly. And then it slowly starts to communicate or materialize or does something to where more concrete evidence is established. But then you have to be kind of sensitive to the astral realm. And in being sensitive to the astral realm, you're entering a realm that, yes, involves spirits and guides and angels. Angels did appear in the reading. And
On the wall.
Yeah, there was the person the, even saw.
Yeah, the
saw
client
saw a figure of some kind, kind of whitish. So that is part of the experience. Now, there is some trouble you can encounter in terms of spirits that are impersonating darker spirits.
Right, because he sometimes a person in their astral journey will think they're encountering someone that they know and it's actually an imposter. So that can be confusing.
Yeah, there's unfortunately spirits out there that just like to tease or impersonate their lost souls. Sometimes they do it out of just the sense of connecting.
But when you get more experienced, you can differentiate between an imposter and a real soul. I mean, in my experience that I just had with the woman that crossed, I was absolutely positive. There was no question that I connected with her. There was no question. I mean, you had no question either when I relayed the dream to you. It affected me. I mean, you can be affected greatly, I guess, by an imposter too, but it just, I knew.
Well, yeah. I mean, the ability to perceive that is a talent and that is a gift, the ability to discern or recognize what is false and what isn't. And sometimes it's quite obvious and sometimes you have to kind of learn from experience and be skilled. But it's kind of like you go to a legitimate car dealership and you're going to buy a car as opposed to going to a used car lot and some guy in a richly colored plaid suit with a toothpick in his mouth is kicking the tires and says, "You're going to love this car." You just know, kind of know where you're coming from. Now, yes, a lot of professionals out there in the earthly world can be deceptive and tricky, and so can spirits. And you just have to kind of take your chances. But generally speaking, if you're somewhat skilled, you're going to know a shyster, you're going to know a false spirit, even if they do have an ability to confuse or impersonate or something like this. There's an authenticity involved. Usually, if it's a false spirit, there's going to be some kicker at the end. Something is going to be said or that doesn't seem right. And they darker spirits can't help but give themselves away in that context. Something comes up and it just sounds utterly ridiculous or destructive or outlandish, like, you know, give all your money to blah, 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 or something. It could even be a deceptive reader who ultimately can perceive a person's energy, and from perceiving a person's energy, pretend they're hearing a spirit, and then instruct the person to do something that isn't clean, that isn't advantageous to them. Readers are not supposed to really gain a vast advantage. Being a psychic is not a money-making venture, per se. That's not what it's about. It's about being authentic and connecting and finding the value of, in a reading, of essentially helping people. That's the first rule of conduct. That's the first rule. But when you're talking about how you encountered a spirit that, or a spirit soul that you didn't particularly have a strong connection with,
on the physical plane.
Physical plane.
Right. But I go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. You're going to ask me something. Go ahead. Finish.
Well, if you, the more knowledge you have about what this whole universe is, how it's conducted, at least some form of knowledge, you're going to better understand why these subtle things come in. Subtleties are part of God's energy, and subtleties is part of the astral realm. In fact, the whole astral realm is somewhat subtle. So to understand that and to look deeply into the element of how you communicate with a spirit or a soul on the other side and gather a depth of information that is quite revealing or truthful, then you begin to understand what the connection might be about, even though it wasn't established on the earthly plane.
Right. And I was aware of the connection, you know, prior to her death. I was aware that there was a strong karmic connection with this individual. Whether she was aware or not, I don't think she was aware. She never investigated it. But I will say that it is more advantageous to a human being if they're aware of who they're karmically connected to, and why, because that makes a person more equipped with knowledge that will help them navigate both the physical world and the astral. We have a caller, and we can get back to this discussion in just a sec. Let's bring on 845. Hi.
Hello. It's Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Good. What's new? How are you doing with the COVID? Good?
Oh, you know, we're just hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, good. It's okay. I had to cancel my trips this year. This was the only year where I scheduled so many trips. I went to one. Then this was the only year where I scheduled my vacations in advance, and I have to cancel most of my vacations.
Yeah.
Home.
Well, a lot of people, you know, the whole world has altered their plans and their procedure and their conduct, and actually downright their livelihood. It's somewhat gotten out of hand. I mean, both sides of the issues are rather important to hear, whether it's overreacting or underreacting. whether it's the thought of the 300,000 more deaths if we don't wear masks, or whether it's been overplayed and we're all being controlled. It's a difficult wire this time around. But just because it's impacting our society in such a way that's causing such great debate in the face of sheer facts on both sides, it appears as though the idea that this is a real virus and it's to be taken seriously, that seems to be the winning argument.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a real virus, but there's also questions of where this virus is coming from, or whether it's a virus per se, or if we're getting sick from the 5G towers that are being put up, because that's the big thing now, 5G network and the radiation from those towers and chemtrails in the air. So whether we're being inoculated with a virus, or being affected by external environmental factors is the question. Do you know anyone, Lucy, who's been sick?
No, really. No, that's good.
I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So you're staying safe and healthy, your family too.
Well,
it depends on the lifestyle, I think. So the person, because one of my coworkers, one of the people that I used to go, she was depressed because she couldn't go to the bar, and then she said, oh, one of the person she knew from there, he died from COVID, but then I said, oh, well, I didn't tell her anything because I don't go to those kind of places. I stay most likely home, walk. But then depends on the style of life that the person has and their belief, and also the amount of TV time they put into it.
Yeah.
Because that's mentally also can mentally kill you too.
So on a personal level, how has your life changed, and what are you doing with your time now in terms of your livelihood and your personal time?
Oh, it didn't change too much because that was my life is not to go places crazy. No, if I go to a place, it has to be like park, hiking, something like that. I work from home.
But you haven't always, right?
Yeah, for many years.
You've always worked from home.
For many years, like, let me see, for like 9 years, 8 years, I have been working from home. Otherwise, I won't be able to call. If I am in the office, they don't allow you on the phone. They don't allow 100 things. They usually time you when you go to the bathroom. Now the computer times you, but then it's like nobody's looking at you. It's like the bathroom now, 5 minutes away from the.
Because I remember you having problems with your female superior. There was a time that you were having problems.
Oh yeah. But these are just because they can see the like emails. Like now, I had a new boss, like for a year and a half too. That was the one that we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Then I am in class learning a new system. I went to class. She never provided me the IDs, nothing. Then I went and got it myself, but I got behind the class. Then I said, wait a minute. I am so behind. They sent me an email. Hey, you're not doing your work. What's up? Then they say, how can you tell me that? I'm have been with IT services getting my ID. I just say, oh, well, I was doing this, and that, requesting my IDs. And then what I did, I just overstayed the whole week until I finished. I was very behind on my own learning. Online learning. It's like going to online university. It's a lot of material, and you have to take your own test.
Yeah. You're in loss prevention, or what is it that you do exactly? I don't get it right. I forget. I'm sorry. Yeah, essentially.
No, I never got that job.
You're right. You wanted to be in loss prevention, but you're still in somewhat of a loss prevention position because you're auditing. You're making sure that everything balances out. So the audit
for what
prevents. What's the type of company you work for? What's the company?
Health insurance. Like we process claims in patient, outpatient, and professional claims.
Oh, okay.
When the doctor or the
Do you enjoy
insurance
kind of
company?
Work?
If I enjoy?
Yeah, do you enjoy it?
I just make it like I don't know what you call enjoy, but then I never put myself in the position that I go against the flow. It's like okay, the floor needs to be sweep, then I just sweep it. I don't give it a second choice,
The nice thing is that you get to work from home. I mean, at least you're not having to go into work and be in an environment where you're working with people that you don't like. You get some distance, even if you have coworkers that you're not on the same wavelength with.
You know, Lucy, your master number is 8, so that has to do with money. And you have a couple of broken opens because 611 is an 8 and 62 is an 8. And 8 has a lot to do with money. So, and with health service, you're kind of getting into more, if you will, the spirituality, the higher element of money. You're doing it with health, which ultimately roots itself to people's well-being. But the question would be, how did you get into this job? Because you have a karmic connection to it, you see. But then you have to kind of go back and trace, Lucy. How did I get here? What were the components?
You asking me a question?
That's the question.
You want the answer? Because the company is close where I live, and then at that point I was taking care of my kids, and I say, well, they don't pay too much money, but then at least I am 5 minutes away from the school. Or anything, if they need anything, I'm just available right away. That was my only, because I was offered better jobs 1 hour away, and I say, no, I'm not driving.
It would be really interesting to get the birth date. Do you know the birth date of yours, the woman that you've mentioned to us before that you didn't get along with?
July 16, but I don't know the year.
July, how? 15?
July 16. July, I think July 15 or 16, because they were celebrating her birthday not long ago.
Well, we don't know if it's 15 or 16. I mean, if it's 16, it's the day that you're born. If it's 15, the days are interchangeable, meaning that if you put an X between them, the 1 to the 5 becomes her day, the 1 to the 6 becomes your day. So there's a tribal connection
in the seven months.
Yeah, 7-1 is an 8, which is your master number. But you know, there's a tribal connection going on, and I'm sure that getting all, you know, more of the birth dates, there'd be more revealed in terms of all the connections between the group of you that work at this place.
Another suggestion that when we say tribal, we see it's the close proximity. They were close by. Now that brings in the idea of the village or the tribe. There's somehow some connection you have with this. Now, in a past life, maybe it was something else. Maybe it was the health of a tribe within the tribal system. Maybe it was medicine, the medicine man, whatever. And you had to maybe at that point gauge the inventory of what were the implements, the instruments for the medicine man, because medicine man would have to use certain roots and certain bark and all kinds of things to perform their rituals. And so even in the tribal sense, there was a purpose to have inventory and to make sure that certain elements that were, they were gatherers. So you probably worked in a tribe that was gatherer as opposed to warrior. So you might have, if we entertain this idea, you might have worked in a past life in a tribal setting with a medicine man, helping to supply the inventory and to make sure things were proper. A lot of times the medicine men wouldn't pick up the object itself. They would have somebody helping them and assisting them. And so in that regard, that might have been where you came from. Now, that doesn't mean anything about your life right now. It's just an explanation on a mystical level
why
how you got here.
In this job.
And if there's anybody in your history, your family background history that was involved in health, even remotely, that might be another indication to support this premise.
Yeah. Was there anyone else in your family that is in the medical field?
My sister, one of my sisters is a, I don't know how they call it. They call it over here a nurse, but then she's head nurse, something like that, because she went to school and she did a specialization. And she's I don't remember if she did master's.
Uh-huh.
Then
she
studied nursing. Mm-hmm. Nurse.
Yeah, she's a registered nurse or maybe a nurse practitioner, but you see, there
no,
it
she's
is.
She's a registered nurse plus she has master's, something like that.
Yeah.
She's a registered nurse with a master's, so she's not a nurse practitioner because
yeah.
they can prescribe. They're
yeah.
totally different.
But there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
She's
we didn't know that.
She's in the medical field.
So now it starts to help support the premise that you're actually living through an experience that you had before.
Where does your sister live?
In Colombia.
Colombia. How far away is that from you?
Colombia.
Oh, in
is South America.
Oh, in Colombia, the country, not Colombia, New York.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
no,
it's
Colombia, South America.
No. So,
you know,
quite the distance. And then that brings in the idea of the medicine man,
yeah,
because
a lot
that's
of primitive
there's more
culture there.
Yeah.
You see. So there is something you're tapping into, Lucy, that is reestablishing an old past life connection. And whatever it is, the importance of what you do is being applied to you accomplishing your task on the planet. You know, aside from other things.
Whether or not you're completely thrilled with the job that you're in, which it sounds like you're not.
<That's real. laughs>
When you say you like to hike and go to parks, that's the gatherer. You see, you don't say, oh, I like to go hunting or I like to go fishing. You're saying to us, I like to go on hikes, I like to go to parks. Now imagine in the past life, you being the gatherer and going out into the fields and the wilderness to find the things that the medicine man might need. It isn't an outlandish premise, because you're repeating some of the activities that you had in the previous lifetime. And when you go out into the park or the hiking, if you don't disturb the environment too much, take something from the environment, take it home. As long as you don't disturb the environment, as long as you don't rob from the environment.
Yeah, a leaf.
Yeah,
something
that wouldn't, you know, it's a terrible thing when people take things from the environment, because they're there for a purpose. And if there's a living thing there, don't disturb it. But if you find something that looks intriguing, take it home, because there'll be magical components in it for you.
Mm.
Could be a rock. But not a precious rock.
A rock.
You have to be careful. But it's okay to gather. And you have to kind of, before you gather something, Lucy, you have to kind of feel the environment and see if the natural world says it's okay to take. It's a feeling.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, Lucy called us, and we haven't even asked her if she has a question. So do you have a question today, Lucy?
Do I have a question? You know, I always say I would like to sell the house, because I want to be like the house, the home where I live, I believe is a huge responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Then I always have that in my mind, but I don't push myself to do it. What's up? It's like, what I'm waiting for.
Well, you have
then
two
my
homes.
My question is,
right. You have two homes.
Yeah,
the one
my, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the home that you reside in right now, not the home that you rent?
Yes, yes, yes. It's like
so,
a big attachment. I don't know.
So what would you do if you were in a home owner? Do you want to be a homeowner, but just on a smaller scale?
I don't think that I could lie. The only thing that it helps me is you can deduct the whatever money you pay in taxes, real estate, and town taxes. But then the other issue is New York. It's like, why you will pay so much taxes in New York, in the place where I live? It's very pricey for whatever
yeah.
you get, you know?
Yeah,
then sometimes I say, okay, I know it's a big responsibility, but then sometimes I say, oh, please, like, I don't know what's going on with me. It's like, okay, the idea is to sell it, but in the meantime, I kind of don't really feel it.
So you would sell, right? So you would sell the house that you live in currently, but you would continue to rent out the house that you own, the second house, because you
yes.
make an income off that. But in terms of your plan, what are you? Do you want to rent, like get an apartment or a condo?
I would like to rent something small with no responsibility. Like I don't, small, no responsibility, and to go from there, and to be able to be mobile.
Yeah, because do you feel tied down to the home because of all the responsibilities?
What's the general value of your home? How much would it be on the market?
Probably 300.
Yeah, and well, it supposedly is like 250.
Oh, so I said three.
But you will never know.
That's close.
Well, the struggle you may be having, Lucy, is you have to go deep into your soul. Because if there's a certain connection you have with the home, with the land, and it's not time to leave yet, that might be your reluctance. It's sort of like being pregnant, mm-hmm. and at 6 months, you want the baby now. But it's not the time. You know?
Yeah.
So how long have you been in this home?
It's 27 plus years.
That's why you're feeling it, because your karmic number is 26. So it's no wonder you're feeling, if your karmic number is 26 years, and you've now lived there also 26 years. How old were you when you moved in?
27 plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old were
you?
But she's... How old were you when you moved in? 62.
All right, I've got to hold on.
2000.
She's on a multiple of 8 from 26. That she's going to be 58.
She's 57 now,
right. So at 58, she's on a multiple of 8 from the age of 26.
She was 30.
So that's why she's having also that pull to make a change.
It could be.
Because 26 isn't divisible.
Yeah. My thought is, it's been 30 years since you moved in when you were 30. You were 30 years old when you moved in. So my comment is you might want to wait 2 more years to make it an even 32 divisible by 8.
Okay, 32. 2 years?
Yeah. You might, because you've lived there for 30 years.
I live here for 27 plus years, almost 28 years.
You were 30 years old when you moved in.
You were 30.
I moved in 1992, and I was born in 1962.
So you were 30
years old. 92.
Yeah, you were 30 when you moved in.
So explain why.
31.
So you were 30 when you moved in, but that's not divisible
by eight.
32
two
is.
So if you wait
two more years.
But does she? I mean, but does she? Because she is on a multiple of 8 from the age of 26 at 58. I mean, that has to be considered.
Well, her situation is this. She's got, her master number is 8, but her month and days also add up to 8, and her year adds up to eight. So 8 becomes a strong theme.
Right.
It's a very strong theme. 30 is not divisible by 8 in this theme. So if she moved in when she was 30, and she's been there 27 years, well, the next multiple of
8.
27 wouldn't be until 32.
The next multiple of eight wouldn't be until 32.
She'd have to be living there 30. But that's not...
I understand.
I think there's a better way of looking at it.
I understand.
Since you were 30 when you moved in, you'd have to wait 2 more years. That would be the ideal. You don't have to. I mean, we're not saying you have to, but to try to explain your reluctance, that might be numerically why you're feeling reluctant.
Right,
because there's a cycle going
on. But numerically, why she might be feeling the pull is because she is on a multiple of 8 from the age of 26 at 58.
Yeah.
If you're renting, obviously you're just kind of pouring your money into something that's not your own. You may have certain things taken care of that you don't have to otherwise deal with if you're a homeowner. I mean, you're still going to be a homeowner because you have a second home that you rent out. Are your expenses going to be reduced greatly if you move? Are you going to be able to save money?
No, my taxes are going to go up anyway. I'm not going to be able to deduct the amount of up to $10,000 that I pay in real estate taxes for this home.
Well, then why are you wanting to move? I don't understand. She's saying it's a burden, but she's saying her expenses are going to go up anyway if she moves. So I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, no, because. It's a burden because I have to take care of what I own. I like cleaning inside, cleaning outside, fix it, bring people to fix this is damaged. The house is for a family, not for one person.
Yeah. I mean,
the winter comes, the snow comes, the grass comes, spring comes.
I know. But you face all kinds of different...
beautiful.
Challenges when you rent too. I mean, if you rent, are you planning on renting a home or living in an apartment? Which
sounds so downsides.
Which would
living
you do?
Living in an apartment. Yeah, living in an apartment, giving up my freedom for the beautiful birds and everything else. Yeah.
So then you're okay. then you're sharing walls with other people, and people are above you,
mm-hmm.
or people are below you, and you're listening to their noise, and you're happy. You have an apartment manager that you have to deal with, and you know. So you're trading in some of the responsibilities that come along with owning a home, but then you're you know getting. Personally, I would rather live in my own home and not have to deal with. I mean, of course, you deal with neighbors living
yeah,
in your
homeowner.
Own home.
I mean, it's a value. But, it's only going to go up in value.
Yeah.
And you have to say to yourself, Lucy, you moved into that home 4 years past your karma of 26. So you know, you have to say to yourself, why did I move in? Why didn't I move in when I was 26? That was my karma. Why didn't a great event happen then? It was 4 years later, divisible, four is divisible by eight. Eight is divisible by four. So it was on a multiple, a so-called of eight, but it was 4 years past. So there's something in your world that sort of got off balance due to karma. Now that demonstrates itself significantly in the zero in your month and the one and one in your month and day.
Well, she went through a divorce. There's some problems with the children, you know.
Oh, my God, don't remind me that.
So the alignment of comfort is not exact. It's not a straight line. The alignment of your karma is not supposed to be a straight line where it's comfortable. You're supposed to adjust to the inflexibility of what would otherwise be a straight line. So the concerns you have are built into your karma. You couldn't help it. You came in to the world with this. So it's not exactly balanced. And 26 is not divisible by 8. There's a 2-year difference. 24 would be, but 24 would be a 6. Your 26 equals 8.
26 equals
8.
8
doesn't factor in to 26. It factors into 24, a 2-year difference. So if I were you, I wouldn't do anything for 2 years. And the values can go up. You own, that is property you own. As soon as you sell it, you've eliminated the potential value of your investment.
Have you done anything to the home to improve it in the 30 years?
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. I changed everything. Everything is new. Windows, roof, and what else? Siding, floor,
interior,
kitchen,
bathroom. So you've redone everything on the inside, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
only gain. That's your investment. That's your investment. You're not that old to where you can say, I'm ready to live off of my investment. I'll move into apartment. I have enough saved to where I can sustain myself with the expense of this apartment. And hopefully it will outlast me by the time I die. You're too young to suddenly say, well, I'm going to turn in my major investment. Do you have any equity in the home?
No.
You have no equity in the home?
What do you mean equity?
Do you have a profit?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Oh, but like I invest a lot because I wanted to make a better house for my kids, but it happens that they went outside to different schools.
Okay, so how much
then they didn't really.
How much do you owe?
Oh, no.
On your property? Do you know how much you owe?
Yeah. Mhm. Almost
you,
a half. I owe. Mhm.
Do you know? Is it you owe a lot of money?
Half. Yeah.
Half.
Well, then if you owe half, what you could get out of your sale in your pocket could be about $110,000.
Yeah, or less.
That's
because I was looking at the commission.
Right.
The real estate
commission,
and the taxes.
Maybe 120. You can't live your life, if that's what you have in your bank, and you sell your home, and you have $120,000 now, and you're going to live off of that supplemented by your income, is that going to last a whole lot?
Mm-mm. I mean, of course, she's working, so it's not.
I'm supplemented by income.
Right.
But no, it's not a good decision right now. That's our comment. But according to the element of karma and why you may be indecisive, I don't think it's time yet.
Well, yeah, and the whole idea of, I mean, you know, we were talking about the tribal connection she has with the people at work, and then you get into the idea of the land that they shared in previous, in a past life, and the fact that she's there for a reason, and the home might be on land that she was on in the past life.
Yeah.
You know, you have to consider all of those aspects when making that kind of decision. So we understand the fact that you might feel somewhat burdened by owning the home. But that's, you know, sometimes a part of life. Burdens are a part of life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't have freedom, but even in your own dialogue, you're saying you're going to be spending as much money in an apartment as you are when you own your home. And I would say definitely owning a home is better than renting. Maybe, I mean, you're saying 2 years from now, it might be a consideration, but even if you wait longer and when you get too old to take care of the house, then consider selling it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not able to do all the things that, you know, you can do at a younger age, like, you know, deal with the snow and all the things that you have to do to maintain the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Oh, I played the lottery yesterday. Let's go to see what happened.
What'd
she say? She played the lottery yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
the Mega,
yeah.
I play.
Well,
Lotto, play the other one.
You're an eight.
Do you play all the time?
No, I just was walking and say, let me go, because I always say, you got to play it to win it, you know?
Play, well, yeah, you do have to play to win. I mean, you do. That's true. It's the odds are not great for winning the big prize, but I guess it happens. Some people win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really.
Maybe it's in my.
I went into a gas station once, and the guy said, "Why don't you play the lottery?"
That
I
was
go,
like
I don't,
recently.
I don't
the last
play
couple
the lottery. I don't, because I'll just play it.
He said, "I have a feeling you're going to win."
So I bought a lottery ticket.
And
not only did I not win, but I got a call from the lottery company saying, your number was so bad, you owe us $50 more.
No, that's not true. Okay.
That will be funny.
She laughed.
She laughed.
Someone's laughing.
But so I don't play the lottery. I don't really. I went to Las Vegas once and did the slot machine and got the three cherries came up, I got four nails.
I won like $100 on a slot machine.
Yeah.
But I'm the kind of person that, I mean, I am not into gambling. And I've won a couple times and it was like a small amount, but that is, you know, I stop. Once I win, I stop. But I've only gambled probably a handful of times.
I mean, if you're skilled at it, it's an interesting profession. Profession. It's interesting. It's intriguing to be a professional gambler.
Yeah,
the whole
environment is kind of intriguing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, to be involved in that, you know, casino life and observe people that are professional gamblers,
yeah.
People at the tables. But anyway.
Yeah. But anyways, Lucy, I hope that helped a little bit.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Lucy.
Yeah,
take care. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hopefully she'll heed our advice and not move. Sometimes it can be overwhelming to own a home, but I always think it's better to keep your property as long as you can. Well, unless there's some great extenuating circumstances that make it not advantageous to own.
Well, still holds true. Real estate is a wise investment, but beyond that, it's about the karma of a home and the ownership of a home and what the land and the earth means and things like that. There's a lot of people who really don't. I mean, some people are in apartments begging to get into homes.
Yeah.
And some people just don't want to have the responsibility of a home, and they're very content to be in an apartment. There's no accurate assessment in terms of what's better, but financially speaking, it's nice to own property, even though it may be have its responsibilities. It's still a wise investment because, generally speaking, it rises in value. And once you look at it all, you're just not throwing your money into a basket with a hole in it just because you survive. But it all depends on the state of mind. When you cross over, I don't think God says, did you rent or own a home? The renters go over on this lot line, and I don't think anything like that happens. But I think in terms of what's most important is that you're responsible.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. And you took the words right out of my mouth.
I didn't say it.
Well, no, I was going to say it's a matter of responsibility. And sometimes responsibility entails owning a home. And if you don't, if you're not, we're all each given our own level of responsibility or things that we have to be responsible for. Some people in a lifetime aren't expected to own a home, but there are people that are lackadaisical and don't own property because of that reason. And that becomes karma for them. So,
yeah. In my lifetime, I've done readings with people who are well off, celebrities. You walk into their home, it's a mansion, and you think, my God. And then you do the reading with the person, and they own three other homes and valued over millions of dollars. And then the whole reading is about their trouble maintaining their homes and what they should sell and how they maintain it. And they're worried about they're going to be able to keep it. And I mean, even the rich and the famous, I've done readings where it was the only topic. And I was thinking to myself, gee, I mean, you're famous. You think there'd be other matters going on. And all they worry about is their finances and their real estate. And you start to think, what a weight there is on this person. And, you know, they might say, well, you know, what movie am I going to do next? But it's all about, well, what do you see me making on that movie? It's nothing about the
essence of their existence.
Or the purpose of the role they're going to do. Or, you know, some people are concerned about Academy Awards and stuff, or I'll bring it up. But a lot of people just look at acting as a business, and they've got to make money. A lot of them can digress, to commercials or situation comedies on TV or something. But it's still a matter of the struggle of survival in that respect. Hopefully, what we do in our readings, Chris and I, is we try to find, well, hopefully we encounter people that their main concerns are about higher elements. It's fine to talk about the earthly stuff.
Good luck.
But we don't. It's funny. It's a lot of people just don't. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's blog talk, or maybe it's just the general consensus out there that spiritual matters. There are people who are very concerned about spiritual matters, and they're right on. The readings are beautiful. They're right in the essence of life.
We have a caller, but we have such short amount of time.
Let's get on.
Yeah, I mean, we really have a short amount of time. We have a 10 o'clock appointment. 816, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. talk quickly because we have a very short amount of time. What's your name?
Robin.
Robin?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Kansas City.
Okay. All right, Robin, what's going on?
Nothing much. I had a boyfriend that passed away. I was just wanting to know if he was trying to get a hold of me. I've been having some weird, strange experiences, like dreams about him and stuff. So.
I said problem in relationship. I said problem in relationship. So you had a boyfriend that crossed. Very sorry to hear that. Let's get your birth dates real quick.
August 14th.
The year. This is your birth date?
Yep.
What year were you born?
1993.
And what's his birth date?
It's August 14th, 1993.
No.
And his birth date was what?
Oh,
we're trying to get.
I can't hear you.
Okay. We're trying to get his birth date now. What's his birthday?
Oh, I'm going to say March 4th.
March 4th, same.
Or March 3rd.
Well, that.
What year? Robin?
Huh? Robin, you got
to
be quick here because
year?
We don't have a lot of
it's
time.
It's like March 3rd, March 1st. Around
yeah,
March.
But we need a year. What year?
Like, oh, man, I'm not sure. 1985.
You can talk to her.
Okay. So, and he died recently. Recently?
Yeah.
How long ago?
No, that's my brother. My brother died recently.
I thought you said your boyfriend died.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, he died about 2018.
Oh, so it wasn't recent. Recent, but it was a couple of years.
And a boyfriend.
And your brother died. Oh, man. But you've been having dreams about your, you've been having dreams about the boyfriend. Was there something regarding, well, obviously his death was premature. Was there anything regarding drugs or alcohol or anything with a car?
Anything with a car?
Yeah.
Do you see something about a car?
Well, no, I'm asking you how he crossed.
I thought there was something with a car.
Did you?
I felt there was something with a car accident, but I don't know. And so, Kristen's alluding to a car.
Yeah.
Is there a car accident or anything with a car involved in the two deaths?
I was in a car accident, and the ambulance drove right past me, and I had to stop traffic to get a ride to the hospital.
So you were in the car accident. So how did your brother or boyfriend cross? What was, we don't have time to
He fell asleep. He fell asleep. His liver was already shutting down. But
yeah,
drinking.
Why did he die? Why did he die? What was the cause? I understand that.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Right, but why did he have cirrhosis of the liver?
Drinking.
Drinking. So I said alcohol.
We're
picking up energy. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're establishing some basis for connecting as to what the terms of the accident was in regard to you and in regard to your interest with your boyfriend. So there is some level of possible communication with them.
Okay.
And you're having dreams. Do you want to give a quick context of the dream?
Just that he was wearing pinkish kind of peach color shorts and same color V-neck shirt, and we were walking around together, and it was like I was seeing him from above and not eye level. I was looking down at him, or, you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing him from like a helicopter view.
So you were looking down at him. Hmm.
Okay, so that suggests that you were in the astral realm, and he's sort of earthbound as a spirit.
Right.
I want to ask you something. Is are there any tattoos or any symbols around you regarding butterflies?
What?
Are there any symbols, tattoos, pictures in regard to butterflies?
Yes.
Where is that?
My sister's mom has a butterfly on her back, lower back.
Okay.
Okay. So this means that you were starting to connect to spirits and souls on the other side that are that are apparently available to speak to you. So your dream,
okay.
Your dream demonstrates that probably your boyfriend, when he crossed over, he didn't transcend into heaven. He still sort of earthbound.
Yeah. Because he crossed premature. Robin, real quick, what happens when spirits or when people die prematurely, and especially when it's due to something like an alcohol, abuse of alcohol or drugs, they remain earthbound for the duration of what their natural life would have been had they lived a full life. And then they go to a higher...
So life continues, and it's like they notice that they're here, but they're not being acknowledged. They're being ignored.
Well, that's part of it, yep.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
But,
you see, because your boyfriend died having from the result of alcohol.
And that's karma. He created karma on the earth. So
he's
stuck.
He's stuck. And he's in the astral realm, you know, trying to work out the way he conducted his life.
He is going to have more of an opportunity once that time expires, once his natural life, the linear time frame of his natural life is over. So at that point, he will be evaluated. You know, his soul will be evaluated, and where he goes from there, whether it's to another place in the astral realm.
Right. I see him in a chair, and it's like I'm the person on the computer asking the questions, evaluating him.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in terms of his evaluation, what will happen is he's going to be evaluated by spirits, by God. Once he gets, but he's not even at that point yet. He's stuck on the physical plane of the astral realm. So that's what your dream indicates. You caught us at the end of our show. We've never talked to you before, Robin, actually. This is our first time calling or having a conversation with you. So we're on the air on Wednesdays and Fridays. You're always welcome to call us back on another show a little bit earlier. You're in Kansas. I think you're Kansas City. What time is it there right now? Is it noon?
About 12:04 or 11:04.
Yeah. 12 or 11. Well, is it 12 or is it 11? I think you're about 2 hours ahead of us probably there. It's 10:05
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, that's when, actually 2 o'clock is when I woke up and I found my boyfriend dead next to me, so.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
That sounds so
2 hours is right.
There is a form of communication going on. You can always call back and learn more about it.
Yeah, we really do suggest you call back earlier in the show, because at the end we're rushing through this here and we're not really getting the proper amount of time to spend with you, or you can connect with us privately on off the show.
And what about Anna Darlene Brown? Can you like contact her and see if my brother's there with her?
Well, not today, because we're like way over our limit on the show. And we have an appointment coming, so you can call us back. What I'm telling you is we're on the air 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific. You're 2 hours ahead of us, so that's 11 to 12 your time, I believe, if it's 12:04 there now.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank
you. Give us a call back. You can follow us on Facebook so you can remember where we are. And she just hung up. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're done. We'll be back on the air Wednesday next week. Thanks, everyone.